The first bill is our attempt to revisit the bonding bill, Senate File 3815, Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chair, I have a delete everything amendment.
We have it.
Okay, I think that's been distributed. That's the A2 amendment. Senator Pappas, to put the bill in the shape the author is requesting, Senator Pappas moves adoption of the A2 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chair, members, the wording in this amendment is exactly the same as it was in the larger bonding bill for the Central Corridor. So my hope is to pass it out to the floor today.
So you're in favor of this.
Mr. Chair.
I wouldn't be here if I wasn't.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
I just wanted to thank Senator Langseth for the second try. And he knows how important this is to the entire metropolitan area, to the state, really, that we can move forward on this. And there's a lot of bumps in the road on this Central Corridor issue, and I hope this probably won't be the final one, but I hope we'll be able to get this one at least resolved.
Well, Mr. Chair, many years ago, I was chairman of what was called the Transportation Study Board, and we went for 2.5 years studying transportation all over the state of Minnesota. We had as our recommendation to do a light rail line. And I know what we had in mind at that time was the Central Corridor, but I can't remember whether that was listed as being the first one or not. But our idea was that let's try it, let's see how the public responds to it. And, of course, with the Hiawatha line and so on, those people that said that there would be only half the ridership they were predicting were just a little bit off. It was about 3 times what they were recommending. So I think it's something that's needed for the metropolitan area and actually for the state of Minnesota. You know, I have a number of people from my area who happen to get on the Hiawatha line, and, boy, they think that's just great to be able to get on out in the suburbs and go into the ball game or whatever.
So. Right.
You know, it's interesting, and obviously we have a lot of work to do today, but we appreciate this effort to take another try at this. But I've always hesitated to quote the New York Times, but I'm going to quote the New York Times. I think it was Saturday's Times, had a big story about transit ridership in the country and the increase in ridership as a direct consequence of what's happening with gas prices. And the article in the Times, it was anecdotal, but it was not based on empirical data, but they went to a number of cities around the country and had comments from people, you know, somebody who's in his mid-20s, late-20s, I think in the Denver area, who was always riding to and from work and said he can no longer afford it because of gas prices, and so now he's taking transit. And the article talked about the cities that have gone forward with transit, unlike us. So,
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Thomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Langston, remind me how much federal money this picks up for us.
Well, it's I guess a 50-50 match for $450 million or something like that. That's federal government will come with as we move along.
So this leverages $450 million or $70 million?
Well, no, we're going to have to come up with more later. Now, some of that may come up from the quarter-cent sales tax or something. We don't know just yet. But, no, this by itself won't get the okay. But it could, if we don't pass it, it certainly could prevent it from coming.
Well, Senator Fredrickson.
I was going to talk about something else, so I'll defer to Senator Anderson.
Senator Harrison.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to follow up to Senator Thomasoni's question. I think it's also important to point out that if we don't demonstrate to the federal government that we're serious and that we're determined to get this done in Minnesota and that we're going to put the state and the local investment in, all of that money could go somewhere else, and we may just not have the opportunity to ever receive that federal match. So it is critically important that we move forward on this year.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Thomasoni.
I remember Congressman Obestar being upset with some federal highway money that went back because the state of Minnesota didn't provide the necessary match, if I'm not mistaken.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Senator Thomasoni, it may have been because we didn't comply with the seatbelt law.
Wasn't it?
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Langseth, this bill seems to me to be a little bit one-dimensional. It would connect our downtown area of our two largest cities with light rail. It seemed to me to be a more balanced package of perhaps we could, say, add some pristine lakeshore and forest land to our state park system, so it's both city and kind of rural Minnesota. And
that would be totally on your main.
Rural Minnesota did very well the first go-around with the bonding bill.
That's right. There is a little spot in Minnesota that I don't know just what happened, but kind of got wiped out. And we're trying to make it more fair.
You mean Senate District 5?
Right. We have
Mr. Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to support what you're doing.
Okay, thanks.
Because I remember way back, I was the one deciding vote for the first $100 million that started on the Hiawatha line. Cool. I remember Roger Moe said he needed one more vote, and I was a little skeptical doing it, the best vote I've ever taken because I'd done it. I just want to be sure and tell the members there's two very important things that I need to get done, the veterans home and that park. And that will come by, well, it might come quicker than you think. But anyway, Senator Langseth, we've kind of argued back and forth about this. But I'm going to support it because I think it's the right thing to do. And we'll see how the whole total package comes when we're done.
Well, again, Senator Vickerman, we already passed the whole total passage.
That's correct.
It's law.
Of course, like Yogi Berra says, it ain't over till it's over.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm very, very appreciative that we're going to try again with the Central Corridor, but I'm also still pretty disappointed with the other vetoes that happened since they fell so unfairly upon St. Paul from the new classroom building at Metro State. I know Senator Langseth supports that, to the Como Zoo, that Senator Anderson is so strongly supportive, to the matching money for the River Edge that we've been trying to get for a number of years and it keeps getting vetoed or something. That matches federal money to the new Bell Museum, which is so important to do for the University of Minnesota. So we've already taken some very, very serious vetoes, but this was the most serious one, and really hopeful that the governor will sign it this time.
Senator Pappas, I do want to point out, though, that obviously, the St. Paul Senator share the concern. Senator Watts here on the next bill, and she would agree as well as to why the governor singled out St. Paul. But we do have to make it clear to Senator Langseth, the Bell Museum is not in St. Paul.
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you for making that clear. And since I represent the city of Falcon Heights, I should point out that even the campus in Falcon Heights is called the St. Paul campus by most people, although it's actually in Falcon Heights. And I just wanted to point out that the city of Falcon Heights, as far as I know going back, has never come to the legislature and requested any project in the bonding bill, ever. And they wanted that Bell Museum so badly that it's kind of ironic that they got somehow caught up in this St. Paul net, and they're not even in St. Paul.
Because guilt by association.
Mm-hmm. Apparently. Well,
geographic association.
Representative Houseman is in my district. It's really a shame because that's such a widely supported project.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, and another St. Paul project with Senator Moi sitting in the audience, I should mention, is the Asian Cultural Center. We also felt really bad about that being vetoed, and we actually thought that that was a project the governor supported. So that was, like this one, that was another surprise.
Well, Senator Langseth, I'm sure you're going to try to be as creative as possible. So further discussion on the amended Senate File 3815.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
I'd move the bill.
Okay, Senator Anderson moves Senate File 3815 as amended to be recommended to pass. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Langseth.
Thank you.
Senator Moi, we have House File 3807.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for giving us the opportunity to bring you House File.
Senator Frederickson.
3807, I believe this is the delete all amendment.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have the A1 amendment, and I'll offer that extension laws.
Yeah, and appreciate that. Senator Ferguson, this is another bill where we have a delete everything amendment that's been distributed. We have Senator Frederickson's motion to adopt the A1 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair, I am very appreciative of the opportunity to come before this committee in a bipartisan manner. I think that I've already spoken to plenty on why the state of Minnesota should take a position in opposition to the Federal Real ID Act. Today I have with me the leading minority member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Warren Limmer, who is my co-author on this bill, and I would like him to give you an opportunity for him to speak to this committee, because this issue has very much a bipartisan support in the Senate.
Chair.
Senator Tomasoni.
Senator Moore, can you clarify what you just said? Did you say you spoke to plenty or you spoke a plenty?
A plenty.
Okay.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Tomasoni, when you work as closely with Senator Moore, you understand all of the ways she can communicate, which is very effective. One thing that I wanted to talk to you about today is that there's a growing concern about the Real ID Act that has been proposed starting in 2005. The Real ID Act is a means to create a national identification card. Although the proponents and the advocates for such a card deny that that is the purpose, even if it was the denied purpose, it has the same effect. The Real ID card is to facilitate all of the 50 states to have the same plastic electronic means to record purchases, to not only identify the individual using the card, but to make it uniform across the United States. Some of the concerns regards the cost of implementation. Nationwide NCSL estimates that the cost in the first 5 years in the United States would reach anywhere from $11 to $17 billion. That's just to create the system, and then there's ongoing costs in addition to that. The estimated conservative fee for the state of Minnesota, if we adopted Real ID, is $95 million over the next 5 years. And over the next 10 years, that figure could more than double in the estimates that we get from NCSL. The two major concerns, of course, is the one that I first brought up, the cost, but second, the potential of violation of constitutional issues that such a card may create or impose. The federal government has said that if we as any state do not do this, they will bar entrance of our citizens to the use of airplanes, federal buildings, the use of Social Security cards, and that it also, through an immigrant act that was also created in the very same year as the Real ID Act of 2005, that it would also be used to validate employment along with the Social Security card and system. This raises certainly a number of constitutional issues that have yet to be addressed by the federal government, not to mention much of the discussion that we've had so far regarding Real ID in this legislature since that time. The Fourth Amendment certainly would trigger the question of illegal search and seizure. The Tenth Amendment, as you know, regulates the difference between what the federal government can do and the state governments can do. And as long as it's not referred to in the Constitution, that authority falls to the states, not to the federal government. In this case, of course, Real ID, not to mention the creation of driver licenses, has been in the jurisdiction of the states. I believe, as just about any other constitutional authority would say, that this clearly is a state mandate, and it should not be a mandate foisted on by the threat of federal government. We believe that Minnesota should join the growing ranks of other states, now totaling 33 states, that are opposing some form of real ID. We can stand for questions, Mr. Chair.
Questions for either Senator Limmer or Senator Moi. Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Limmer, did you say that it would cost the state $95 million over 5 years?
Yes.
I'm just trying to fathom that, because we might have 5 million people who need IDs. So how much is that per ID? I can't hardly believe that that would be an accurate figure.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, it's not just the cost of implementing the card itself. It's all of the electronic gear that goes into it. This is a tremendous expense on the states. The federal government has not provided any money for its implementation anywhere in the country. Not only do you have to create buy the hardware, much of it actually has to almost be invented, because there is no such hardware right now. But it's following the design of what the federal government wants for the purposes of this legislation. So it's a combination of hardware as well as software, and then the creation of it and applying it to all the citizens in the next 5 years. The bill itself was once considered to be an anti-terrorist bill to track people who are illegally here, and if they in fact were intent on doing some type of terrorist activity, that we would know who they are. Well, the only problem with that logic is that most of the people that we would impose this law on are law-abiding citizens. And we're trying to cast a very, very wide net in order to find people that may not carry this type of identification. This identification has the means to not only carry your basic identification data that you find on your driver's license now, but it also has the magnetic strips, the electronic embedded chips that can follow just about any transaction you make. It has the capability of including biometric data that may or may not be imposed, but it certainly has that capability. It's a very sophisticated card. Even the embedded chip has the means to be tracked by satellites. And so there are a number of serious constitutional issues that need to be discussed before any state would employ this, which we have not.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. We've got House File 3807 in front of us. Senator Fredrickson?
Chairman, I'd move that House File 3807 as amended be recommended, passed, and sent to the floor.
Okay. On the Fredrickson motion, is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The members, we meet at 8:30 tomorrow, and we will have the naturopathic bill on the agenda.
I'm not here,
so that's it. That's it. We have other bills. We have the teacher's pension bill, but has anybody else been hit by the natural? Pardon?
Pension bill? No, we just did that.
I'm sorry. The teacher's insurance.
Oh, that.